God's dearly loved people. Grace to you and peace from God, who is our Maker and the one who loves us, and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Hello, Bruce. There's a puppy little voice out of breath. Hello, Ruth. It's a family story now. We have a story of a lost boy. He had been with his mother and his sister in a store, and they were trying on clothes and busy in the back room, and this little one was doing his drawing and his writing and checking books out and the little table provided. And suddenly he looked up and there was no one there. And so this little 3.5-year-old went out to check where the car was, and wasn't there. Mom must have left, and he disappeared. He decided, apparently, to go home, but nobody knew. And a frantic mother came out of the dressing room missing him, and began to search all over, up and down the streets, knocking on the shop doors, wondering if anyone had seen a little boy. The police were called, and people were running up and down the street. And in the meantime, a father was absent, much to the frustration of a mother. And so she called home in a panic. And here, a little 3.5 had trotted home through a town, up a hill, over a mile, maybe two, answered the phone. Hello, Ruth. What a relief. Now, each of us perhaps has a story like this, something somewhere within our family more, where we have lost a child and found one. And we remember the anxieties, and we remember what we have learned from that. We have more than one story, unfortunately. And maybe you do too. But these stories mark us. They teach us about who we are, and about how we can cope and how we live together. We learn this about a young man who was to be a young man, and how capable he was even at a young age. We learned about ourselves. We learned about our relationships and how these relationships are not ours to just keep always. We never know what is going to be there. So now in the rhythms of family life, something happens that stands out and teaches us. And so we come to this text today, understanding a little bit. We bring ourselves to these texts, and we find our story is hidden there too, and a greater story for us, one that teaches us, and hopefully fills us with a renewed hope for life. This story is told in the context of Jesus growing. Jesus growing. Our story is predicated today with these words, the child grew and became strong. The child grew. This week we celebrated a birth of a baby. And now today we hear how the child grew. And it closes with these words, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in years. Growth in the midst of stories is what it's about. There's two words that I want to leave or bring to this story. One is found in the story. Two words that mark it and mark us, I think. One is, there's a nodal event here. A nodal event. Now, a nodal event is, in psychology, is borrowed from photography and maybe from botany. Nodal is when the light is brought in through a lens and focused, and an image becomes clearer. Or in botany, it's where on a tree branch a growth takes place, where a new leaf comes, is formed, and a branch begins to grow. Significant events, a nodal event in life, is something that marks the life and indicates its passage into something new and greater. We have all kinds of nodal events. You know, a marriage is a great nodal event within a family, not just for a couple, for the family around and the friends as well. And there's nothing like the birth of a child. Nothing changes life like the birth of a child within a family unit. For the parents, to be sure, but for all of those, the aunts and the uncles and the people who are within that family unit. That's a nodal event. Or a nodal event is what maybe Dag Hammarskjöld said. I don't know when. I don't know how. But at some point, I became aware that there was someone or something that indicated to me that I had meaning in life, and I became aware of that. Another example is that which would bring such an awareness that life is impacted, that we learn and grow and are marked by that. And the way that it makes a difference, it informs us for where we go next. How was it, for example, you chose to do what you used to do? Maybe it came like an insight, like one young boy who loved to draw. And his parents took him to Frank Lloyd Wright's home, and they began to talk about the architecture and how it is put together and the drawing and how famous this architect was because of the way he put houses together. And the boy just turned his head. You mean they can pay you to draw houses? And he became an architect. You have a story like that? That is marked you. And then the other story, the other word in this story is ethos. Ethos has to do with those routines, customs. Mary and Joseph went to the Passover as it was their custom. That's what they did. They lived under the customs of the Jewish state. They raised Joseph, or not Joseph, they raised Jesus within the customs of that Jewish state. He was marked by that, and the routine of going to the Passover was a part of his life. And then on this particular one, he was 12. Now, there was a nodal event at 12, by mitzvah. He became an adult, a man within the Jewish tradition, capable of participating fully as an adult. And so the story tells of Jesus who's discovering who we are. Not all at once, you see, but discovering who we are as a human being, and now maybe as open we are. He's lost, but not him. He's lost to Mary and Joseph. And they are in a corner. And we wonder how it could be done. As a podcast with some parents spoke as I was preparing this, one mother said, as she watched this, looked at the story, said, "Bad times." Like we did when we lost our children. Bad parents. But maybe Luke is trying to tell us something more about this boy, this child, whom sometimes we like to hold in our arms and keep comfortable in some sort of sentimental way. But the child grows. He becomes a man. And he becomes aware of who he is. Don't you know? Why did you do this to us? Don't you know that your father and I have been looking in a panic for you? And notice how Jesus turns to Philip. Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house? Not Jesus, the father. But maybe an awareness of this, that within him there is something more. I like this realization of Jesus coming gradually. Fully human, Luke says. There are too many other gospels written at that time that did not make the point because they held this Jesus up for all of his divine power that he might have, telling stories about how the Christ child, when he was bumped by a boy running by, spoke out to that young man, that young boy, in such a way that he fell dead. And then he raised him up as really God could. Or changing clay pigeons into live flying birds. Or stories that talked about how his diaper could bring healing to those who touch him. Luke doesn't do that. He has Jesus as a human being living in the earth and growing into who he was. And coming to these realizations maybe in mortal moments, like the one moment in the temple, told again by Luke, so that we all might capture who this unique person is. When did Jesus discover it? Along the way. And it was informed, this moment was informed by the effort, by the pattern of living within the Jewish tradition, of being there, He was just a normal human boy, developing mentally, morally, spiritually, being touched by Jewish tradition, hearing the word of God, and coming to know his life, his very being depended on that, so that he referred to it again and again, especially in the desert. It's out of the routine. And you. You know. I think that Jesus kind of leads the way and reminds us how precious the days we have been given are. The moments of life and what we do with them day by day. How we live in the pattern of custom. Most of us are here today because we're used to being here. Because this has become the way of life where we're part of the everyday pattern of life. We gather together as a community. Where we hear we have been cleansed through the water of baptism. We hear a voice that has proclaimed to us, you are God's chosen one. Dearly loved one. God's own child. And we come to discover what that is. But it's not in isolation, it's in the effort of life, in our patterns, in our thankfulness to those patterns. And so we come. And we hear again that deep word that reminds us who we are. That reminds us whose we are. That reminds us how we are held to all of life and what it brings us. High anxious moments, those uncertain moments about what do we do now? Who am I? What do I do with this time, with this situation? And we hear a word that wraps us and holds us. As God's chosen one, we need. As God's chosen one, clothe yourself with compassion, with kindness, with humility, meekness, patience. Do you hear the contrast to what we're tempted to be and to do with each other? Day by day in the routines of life. Bear with one another. Forgive each other. Clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together. Let the peace of Christ in you and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly and fully. Keep your mic in if you can. And sing. I love that one. It's part of that effort that keeps reminding us who we are. Is it with me? No, it's not. We are. And sometimes within that effort there comes a moment, isn't it true, when we know God taps us on the shoulder and says, I have things for you to do, where we can know and celebrate who we are as God's children. Jesus is a human being fully. He entered into life with all of its patterns in this particular family. And he grew into whom God called him to be. To who he really was. And so we listen. And so maybe we even hear. And we live into a daily life with all of its fears of discomfort, with all of its tragedies, all of its injustices, its hurts and its pains. And we hear another word. And perhaps we call out and touch it. We know why we're here. And we eat and we drink. And we love something. That this word of voice might be a part of every nook and corner in God's great creation, that the world might say, Amen.